This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. ZZ Top's Tube Snake Boogie takes us perfectly into this next segment of the show. I was listening yesterday afternoon when Frank was here and talked about this Discovery Channel show that's going to air on December 7th, in which a man is supposedly going to be eaten alive by a snake, a very large snake, an anaconda. And I went to my friend Andy Dehnart's website, which is realityblurred.com, where he writes about all sorts of reality shows, The Amazing Race and Survivor and all sorts of different shows. And he's been doing this for over a decade now. And as soon as I read what Andy wrote about this, I said, you got to come on the show and talk about it. So here he is. Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Hey, good, Paul. Good to talk to you.
So is this guy really going to be eaten by a snake?
I think that's the big question right now. Like, you know, all we've seen are a couple of teaser trailers that show some people going deep into the jungle and finding an anaconda, and then he puts on his spacesuit, and you see the snake kind of biting at his head, and then that's it. So he insists that it was real and that he did it and that the snake lived. Experts are saying that would pretty much be impossible to, like, put somebody in the snake and then pull it out without accident, you know, with basically not killing the snake. So.
Who is this guy?
His name is Paul Rosalie. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct. He's written a book about looking at the uncharted tributaries of the Western Amazon. So he seems to have some credibility, although some people are also attacking him as being a pseudo wildlife expert. So it's certainly not a household name. It's not like, you know, this is Caesar Milan, dog whisperer, going to be eaten by a snake or something.
Well, he has credibility because he wrote a book. I'm not sure that makes it still possible that we're going to believe that he's actually doing this. But they've already filmed the show, as you said, and so he knows whether he did it or not, and Discovery knows whether he did it or not. And if he didn't actually do it, would the Discovery Channel put that on the air?
I think they would, and I think the problem is, as I wrote about, that the Discovery Channel has basically lost its credibility with stuff like this. You know, they just aired the stunt of Nick Wallenda walking between the skyscrapers in Chicago, and that was very real and life-threatening.
Yeah.
But this summer, for the second summer in a row, during Shark Week, they aired a bunch of documentaries that were basically fiction, a couple of which they interviewed scientists and lied to them about what they were asking about and manipulated their comments in order to make fictional animals seem like they were real and to make it sound like an extinct shark is not extinct anymore. So they're not really concerned about being truthful with their audience. So I'm not sure if this is just one big joke or if it's going to be like, you know, a scene from Anaconda with John Voight being eaten by a CG snake or what.
Yeah, the fake shark that you're talking about was Megalodon, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Did they have any, I know you blasted them for this, but did they have any blowback from viewers or anybody else?
Incredible blowback, I think, generally this year, particularly from scientists and particularly from sort of the scientific and conservation community who think that they've just really damaged everything that Shark Week used to be about, which was bringing attention to sharks and how important they are and et cetera, et cetera. The ratings, you know, the problem is people tune in and watch these shows. And then if you look on Twitter or elsewhere, people believe it. And some scientists this summer were tweeting stuff about how every time they go to talk to kids now, kids want to talk about Megalodon and how it's still around because they believed it. And, you know, Discovery Channel, like, I have nothing against the Discovery Channel if they want to air a funny fake documentary. Like, a couple of years ago, Animal Planet did a fun one on mermaids, and, you know, it was obviously fake. They put a disclaimer at the beginning pointing that out. So it was just dumb entertainment. But now they're basically saying this is real, even though it's not.
Yeah. And as you say, destroying their own credibility. So this
for ratings.
This Eaten Alive special is going to air December 7th. And
correct.
And is it, have you been reading it all? Is it possible for an anaconda to both consume and then unconsume a human being?
I believe, you know, I'm not an anaconda expert, although I'm learning more as I read about this for the story. I think they, you know, the regurgitation is a part of their, like, digestive process.
So he doesn't go in one end of the snake and come out the other.
Right. So I think then they basically look, it looks like from the brief moments of video that we have seen that he has some kind of tether attached to him. So my assumption and what I think we're all looking at right now is that he's going to sort of be swallowed and then they're going to pull him back out or something.
I'm down to the part I don't want to be down to. Pull me out of here.
Yeah, I don't know, like what, maybe you discover something deep down inside the snake that you never knew was down there and you just need to get out fast. Oh, I don't know.
Can an anaconda open its mouth wide enough to swallow somebody or something that's that big? I mean, let's say the guy's, all right, let's make him short. Let's make him 5'6". All right, can an anaconda open its mouth wide enough and consume something the size of a 5.5 foot long human being?
Yeah, there's, and you know, I wondered that too, and then I looked, and there's like video of like an anaconda eating a hippo, so I think a human is probably not out of the question.
Oh, well, then
I don't know like how big the anaconda has to be to eat something the size of a hippo or a short person, you know, even.
Now I'm hoping the guy's 6'5", 300. Let's really make it a challenge for the damn snake.
Exactly. That's Discovery's show next year, which is like Anaconda Eats a 500-pound man.
Anaconda eats your family. Good, because we don't have enough to worry about. We're just getting over the Ebola thing. Now we've got to worry about anacondas coming from South America and eating a family. Thanks, Discovery.
Exactly. Now we're all going to be terrified in our beds tonight.
Wow. Let me go back to Nick Wallenda for just a second. I did not watch that thing on Sunday night because I knew that all, like with so many things that happen on TV, I could just watch it the next day. But I know that they're really into the live aspect of this, even though it wasn't live. There was a delay. And
right.
I think some people probably watched it because they wanted to say, yeah, I saw that guy die.
Totally. I mean, I think that's part of the attraction. And I think, you know, ultimately, he did this a couple of years, or last year with the Grand Canyon. This year, the special was 140 minutes long, excuse me, and that's a long time when you consider that to walk across the two tightropes took him like 10 or 12 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So they basically, it was just all build up, and then he just kind of went across really fast, and people I know people who do tightrope walking say that basically, you know, although it is, yes, very high, it's no more dangerous than what a tightrope walker would do at a circus. And in fact, those people are like jumping and flipping around and stuff too. So
yeah,
But it's people want, you know, they obviously get a large audience. People are tweeting about it. My favorite thing though was everyone was tweeting about this. It was called Skyscraper Live and trending in first in Chicago, then nationally, and then worldwide was the term Skyscraper Live because Americans and others can't spell skyscraper.
People were spelling skyscraper with two P's.
Exactly.
Did that show do well compared to, what was it, the Grand Canyon show he did last year?
Not at all. Like, probably, you know, roughly about half as many viewers, I think. So, I don't know if people just have fatigue or if it was just that there was more competition on Sunday night with shows like The Walking Dead, but it did not do the same kind of numbers.
Have they announced if Nick Wallenda is going to crawl over anything else?
Yeah, next time he's going to be eaten by an anaconda and then go across the tightrope.
The anaconda will go across the tightrope with him in it.
No.
He's going to have
the. Or he'll use the anaconda as the balancing pull.
Yeah. No, I like Dan's idea. Put Nick Wallenda out a few feet on there and then put the anaconda behind him.
Yeah.
You're going to have a really fast broadcast that way, Andy.
That sounds great, actually. I think we're all geniuses and we should create our own network.
Or, wait a second, how about this? We do a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of thing. Nick Wallenda over a pit of snakes. Sophie.
And they should definitely all be rubber, too, because that would be about as appropriate as possible for the Discovery Channel.
Is anybody, I'm sure Discovery Channel's had this idea already, so I'm not giving away a $1 million idea. Has anybody said, let's do the Evel Knievel Snake River Canyon jump, which, of course, he never actually jumped over. His rocket motorcycle took off and then essentially parachuted to the ground without even making it across to the other side of the Snake River. But are there people who are saying, let's go back to the Evel Knievel catalog and pull out some of his greatest hits?
Actually, yeah, it's totally that you actually have basically talked about something that Fox was going to air. They were going to air it on the 40th anniversary of Evel Knievel's attempt. And they were going to do it live and call it Jump of the Century. But and they were going to air it actually like about a week ago, but they ended up canceling it, just saying it was too expensive and difficult to do. And then, so basically, yes, people have thought about all kinds of things. And Discovery was going to air people jumping off of Mount Everest, but then there was the avalanche there, and they canceled plans because a lot of the people and crew involved were affected by the avalanche.
What do you mean jumping? You don't mean motorcycles jumping. What are you talking about?
No, sorry, base jumping off Everest. Yeah, not motorcycles jumping off Everest, but people like jumping off the top of the mountain.
Are those the people who wear those wingsuits and fly down at like 200 miles an hour, but get a lot of horizontal lift?
I think that's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've seen video of those people. You go on YouTube and you watch some of these base jumpers and what they're doing, and it's stunning. It's particularly the ones who do it on purpose, really close to a mountain or whatever it is they've jumped off of. That is stunning stuff. And I would have watched that. I'm not going to watch. I don't care about Nick Walenda, and I don't care about Snake Boy, but I would definitely watch a live base jumping special because I just find those videos so compelling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think that would have been an interesting one, but, you know, obviously the real world kicked in and prevented them from being able to do it. So.
All right. So this Eaten Alive special is going to air on December 7th on the Discovery Channel, and I guess I'm going to leave it to you to watch it for me and then report on what you see and whether it actually looks real.
I will do that. And I, like I said, you know, the sad thing is I will definitely be watching. So basically Discovery has already won, and I hate them for it.
Thanks, Andy. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Andy Daynard is the editor and publisher of realityblurred.com, where he blogs about all of these reality shows and specials and that sort of stuff.